Kid Dramas present Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. In next Sunday's American Weekly, the gifted editor and author Adela Rogers St. John contributes one of those very human, intensely interesting, and authentic articles for which she is so justly famous. She writes upon a subject she knows intimately, Hollywood, the motion picture capital of the world. She writes of one of the film city's most tragic heartbreaks, interwoven with one of its greatest murder mysteries, in the story of one of Hollywood's beautiful but luckless stars. Every one of our listeners will want to read this feature article entitled Millions, Murder, Misery. Will they haunt a once famous movie star forever? It is one of the highlights of next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. We now present Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, an original radio drama, the plot and characters of which are all fictional, and any resemblance to any persons living or dead purely coincidental. The place, Hollywood. The time, a spring morning in the turbulent 20s, the era of the silent pictures, inside the very modernistic office of Abe Bernstein, president and chief producer of Distinguished Pictures Incorporated. Mr. Bernstein, affectionately known as A.B., is addressing his executives.
Gentlemen, what is happening to me shouldn't happen to a dog.
No, I'll take it back.
What's happening to me shouldn't happen to two dogs. One couldn't take it.
Hold on now, A.B. Don't get excited. I know it's tough to lose our biggest box office draw. Sylvia Smith walked out on it, but it can't be helped. She's not the only star. We made her, we can make another one just as quick. There's just as good fish in the sea as ever was caught.
Yeah, but you don't make million-dollar hits with herring.
Okay, but why get so excited? Art Gale is liable to turn up any day now with a real find, the discovery of the year.
Art Gale, don't mention that garnet to me. Give me $5,000, he says, and I'll discover a dozen of Sylvia Smith. 6 weeks he's gone already. What did he discover? One thing, he's short of money. Hello.
Mr. Gale calling Mr. Bernstein.
That boy, that loafer, that... put him on.
Very well, Mr. Bernstein. Go ahead, Mr. Gale. Mr. Bernstein is waiting.
Hello, Abe. Abe, congratulate me. I found her. The greatest find of the century.
Mr. Gale.
That is tight. She'll make Mr. and Mrs. Joe Public forget there ever was a Sylvia Smith. Get this.
For 6 weeks.
Her name, Wee Winnie Winsome. The prettiest girl I've ever seen. A baby doll comes to life. Real rosy cheeks. Big blue eyes. Long, dark eyelashes. And real golden curls. An Irish personality milder than melt even your heart.
Never mind the sales talk. Can she act?
Can she act? She was born in the middle drawer of a tailor trunk, raised in a dressing room, been on the boards ever since. She could first say data, and you ask me, can she act? She's a baby Bernhardt. Wire me transportation free on the Los Angeles Limited and $500 and have Don Thomas ready for a screen test on Saturday.
Did I do that last scene just as you wanted it, Mr. Thomas?
No, it was perfect, Winnie. Couldn't have been better. You've certainly come a long way in the last 6 months.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Thomas. But you deserve all the credit. You've been so kind and patient and kind.
I couldn't be otherwise with you, Winnie. You're a sweet, unspoiled little girl. Very different from a lot of the others I have to handle. But I'm so fond of you.
Oh, Mr. Thomas, it's awfully nice of you to say that.
There's only one thing I want to correct. When we're working on this set, it's perfectly proper to address me as Mr. Thomas. But when our work is over and we, well, are holding an informal conversation like this, I'd much rather you call me Don. I want you to think of me as an old friend now, Winnie.
Oh, I do. Really, I do, Don. I admire you more than any man I've ever met.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, Winnie. And now, there's one thing more. You take your life much too seriously. You stay shut up too much. It isn't good for you. It's all right to be studious, quiet, and hardworking when you have a job to do, but there's another side of life equally important. You've got to have a little fun. Play a little, dance a little, laugh and enjoy yourself. Well, I don't mean the way a lot of people out here do, but there's plenty of good, clean, sane fun, and you should be enjoying some of it.
I'd like to very much, Mr. I mean, John, but you know...
Now, listen, Winnie. I'm giving a little garden party this afternoon. How would you like to come?
Oh, I'd love to, John.
Splendid. I'll expect you around 4, eh?
Winnie. How many times have I told you to leave this set immediately after they finish shooting? I've been waiting for you. I'll come along this minute.
Yes, Mother dear.
Now, don't blame Winnie, Mrs. Winsome. It was my fault. I detained her. I wanted to have a little chat with Winnie.
I've told you repeatedly, Mr. Thomas. I take care of all Winnie's business affairs. While she is on the set, she is naturally under your direction. But that is all. When her work is over, she passes back to my supervision.
I understand that only too well, Mrs. Winsome. No one cares to dispute your authority. I detained her just long enough to invite her to a little garden party I'm giving today to celebrate the finish of our new picture.
Winnie, you go out to the car at once. William is waiting. I'll be along in a minute.
Yes, Mother, dear. Goodbye, Mr. Thomas.
Goodbye.
Now, Mr. Thomas, I'll inform you once and for all, I don't want you or anyone else taking dates with Winnie. Until she becomes of age, I'll take care of all Winnie's social engagements. I don't want my child spoiled like a lot of others I've seen. I've given Winnie the best years of my life. I've raised her properly. And I don't want you or anyone else of your kind to destroy my life's work.
Please. I do not like your vicious invitation. I merely extended Winnie an invitation to a garden party.
I know your kind invitation. Your so-called harmless little party. And neither Winnie or myself wanted a part in them. And if this vicious campaign to undermine my daughter's welfare behind my back continues, I shall speak to Mr. Bernstein and insist he change director.
All right, all right. Now listen to me, Thomas. I know what you're up against. I don't like the old lady any more than you do. But I've got an investment to protect. In a little over a year, we, Winnie Winston, has packed him into the box office, put distinguished pictures on top. We're making money. Lots of it. He's got $1.5 million tied up in that contract with the old lady for Winnie's success.
I've seen plenty of stage mothers in my time, but I never saw one so hard, so scheming and vicious as that tired.
Yeah, that's right, A.B. The old girl's impossible. She's in my hair all the time. You're always squawking for new publicity angles. How can you get them? That kid's life is abnormal. She eats with mother, sleeps in the same room with mother, talks with mother, walks with mother. Well, I don't believe that girl has ever been alone in a room. It isn't human for her to live like that. Sooner or later, it's going to affect her work.
Now, listen. I know all that. But we're getting off the subject. The old lady complains that you're seeing the girl behind her back. Yeah, you've been planning to take her daughter away ever since you had the fight on the set 6 months ago. Of course, you had to make things worse by buying up that hillside property right next to her.
No. I had an option on that property a year before
she
bought that place of hers. What if I am fond of a girl? Is that any crime?
Okay. But what I want to know is it serious? Do you want to marry her?
How could anyone get serious about a girl one never sees, except on a crowded set or at a distance, and then always guarded by that mother of hers?
Don is right again, A.B. The whole thing is a laugh. How can a guy make love to her when the old lady won't let the girl out of her sight long enough to even see a man? What if Don wants to marry her? She's of age. Beyond it, as a matter of fact. The kid, as you call her, will be 21 next month.
21?
Yeah, the old lady lied about her age and a lot of other things.
Mm.
Her name isn't Winston. It's Buchanan. Her husband isn't dead, only divorced. He's an actor, too. I met him last month in New York at the premiere of The Little Duchess. He was glad the old lady and kid were doing well. He didn't want to cut in on their money. He hates the old girl. Told me the whole story. Showed me a birth certificate, marriage license, everything. Told me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So Don here can kidnap Winnie anytime he feels like it, rush off to a preacher and get sliced, if the gal is willing.
Mm-hmm.
So what you'd better do is put a rider on the contract, giving you his promise he won't marry Winnie until her contract with you is up.
I see. Mm-hmm. All right, Thomas. Promise me you'll do that, will you?
Sure, I'll promise. Draw up the agreement. I'll sign it. Don't worry about me. I wouldn't do a thing to harm you or anyone else, A.B.
How dare you force your way in here? What do you mean, intruding like this? I demand an explanation.
Don't worry. You're going to get it. We're from the district attorney's office. We thought you might be interested in knowing your next-door neighbor was murdered last night.
Oh.
Mr. Donald Thomas, the famous movie director.
Oh, no, not Donald. It's not true.
Winnie, be quiet. Speak when you're spoken to. I'll handle this.
No, ma'am. We'll handle it. We've got a few pertinent questions we'd like to ask you and your daughter.
If you mean to insinuate that we had anything to do with this affair, you're badly mistaken. Outside of my daughter's work at the studio, we had nothing whatever to do with Mr. Thomas. We have never been inside his grounds, much less his house. Furthermore, I forbid him to set foot upon my property.
Don't worry. We know all about your relationship with the late Mr. Thomas. We also know a few things about your daughter's relationship with him, too. And that's why we're here.
My daughter had nothing whatever to do with Mr. Thomas outside of the studio.
Okay, we might as well clear that point up first. You see these? They're love letters. Take a look at that stationery. The handwriting. Do you deny those are your daughter's?
Yes, they're mine. I admit it. I wrote one every day. I used to see him secretly. I'd steal out of my room after Mother was asleep and meet him in the garden.
Winnie, stop this. Not another word. I command you to leave the room.
You're in no position to demand anything. Go ahead, miss. Talk all you like.
Winnie, don't you dare utter another word until we consult our lawyers. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. I've heard you all my life. I listened to you unquestioningly. I obeyed you blindly. All my life I've been under your thumb. But I'm free now, and I'm going to do what I please. I loved him. We loved each other. You were only waiting until I finished my contract with Distinguished Pictures, and then we were going to run away and get married. Oh, it's too late.
Now, Mrs. Winsome, you'd better talk. We've got plenty on you. You might as well tell us what you know about this murder.
I know nothing at all about this murder. And if you feel sure I am guilty of any participation in the affair, place me under arrest.
Don't worry. We've got a warrant to hold you for questioning. We know that you're a vain, ambitious woman. You were insanely jealous of Donald Thomas. You suspected, and later proved to your own satisfaction, that your daughter Winnie was in love with Thomas. You were jealous of Thomas, or any other man for that matter, who might think of marrying your daughter and thereby take away your only visible means of support. You loved money, ease, comfort, influence, all the things that Winnie's earnings could bring you. You hated Thomas and tried to get him removed. Removed from directing your daughter's pictures. You threatened to shoot him if you ever caught him with your daughter. Now, we know you purchased a .38 caliber pearl-handled revolver. Thomas was killed with one like that.
One like that, perhaps? Here, take these keys and look in that desk and you'll find mine fully loaded and gathering dust. No, as much as I would have liked to, I didn't murder Donald Thomas.
Mrs. Winsome's tried for the murder of Donald Thomas. Daughter breaks with mother in movie director's murder. Studio officials cancel star's contract.
Mrs. Winsome not guilty of murder charge.
Winnie Winsome retired from screen.
Say, Avery, guess who I saw today? How should I know, Arthur? You're always seeing someone.
Well, Chief, I did my usual yearly chore. Put a wreath on Don Thomas's grave. He was there. Short, fat, middle days, with deep lines and heavy circles under those once beautiful eyes. Dressed in shabby black. Little run down at the heels. Money running low, I guess. He said if he had only lived long enough for us to have been married, everything would have been all right. Yeah. But I still love him. That's why I never married. That's why I'm here.
Poor little thing. She fought success, fame, and fortune on her when all she wanted was love. It's a crazy world, Art.
You have just heard the front page drama, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Don't miss Adela Rogers St. John's intensely interesting and authentic article on Hollywood entitled Millions, Murder, Misery. Will they haunt a once-famous movie star forever? To be featured in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.